From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Have you read any good books lately? We open our phone lines for our annual show featuring your suggestions for the best books to enjoy this summer on the beach and beyond. And you can call us now at our toll-free number and let us know what your recommendation is. It's 866-733-6786 to call us or email us forum at kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or go to our Facebook page. Let us know what you think people should be reading. Forum is next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. And in this hour of Forum, we invite you, our listeners, to give us your best and most enthusiastic recommendation for summer reading, as we like to say, for the beach and beyond. An opportunity for you to add really one of your favorite reads to the list that we provide for our listeners, which at the later end of today will go up on our website. And usually, summer reading implies light or thriller or mystery reading, but we want the book you want others to read, fiction or nonfiction. And we'll have your recommendations on that list on our website to provide enough reading for you for the summer months and, we hope, well beyond. You can call us now at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. And most of you know the drill because we do this regularly, especially for you regular listeners of Forum, an opportunity for you to just let us know a book that you think is well worth reading and why. Again, you can join us toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum at kqed.org, or post your suggestion, recommendation, if you will, on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page. So many ways to communicate with us and let us know. And whatever book it is that you're recommending will go on our list. Let's go to our callers right away. We begin with Nancy. Good morning. Nancy, are you there? Well, I guess she's listening on her radio or some problem there, so we'll go on to Sally in San Francisco. Hi, Sally.
Hi. My recommendation is a book called By Blood by Ellen Ullman.
She's local, in fact, isn't she?
Yes, and it's published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. I'm just about finished reading it. It's very original and extremely interesting, and as you say, it's in San Francisco, so it takes place on New Montgomery across from the palace.
So what is I've heard good things about this novel. What engages you about it?
It's just so unusual. It's about a disgraced professor who rents a room to do some writing and hears a psychiatrist and his patient through the wall next door, and he becomes totally engrossed in it. And it goes into all kinds of things about this patient that he identifies with, and also talks an awful lot about the Holocaust and gives details about that I wasn't familiar with. And so I think that San Francisco readers would really enjoy it.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. I think there was a trope before. Wasn't it in a Woody Allen film where the guy hears everything through being in another office in a shrink's office? Let me go to more of your calls, and we'll get Jamie. Or is it Jamie or Jaime?
Jamie.
Jamie, welcome.
Thanks. I just wanted to put in a quick plug for any of the Discworld novels by Terry Pratchett. One of the things he says about Discworld is every probability curve has a tail, and what he has done in this fantasy world is started out with an image that will be familiar to many people. There's a giant turtle. On the back of the turtle are four elephants. On the back of the four elephants is a giant disc. And that's the disc world. And in it, there's dwarves and trolls and all that kind of thing and magic and... Yet when you read the books, they're clearly satires of our world. So he gets to address philosophical questions and make fun of people, and it's a great blend of the serious and the comic.
Sound entertaining. So it's Jerry Cratchett, like Dickens' character, Cratchett.
No, P-R, P as in Paul.
Oh, Pratchett.
Pratchett.
And Discworld.
Yeah, they're, it's a series of books. Some of the titles include things like Going Postal, The Color of Magic, Weird Sister, spelled W-Y-R-D. There's 25 of them.
Well,
and they're sort of sub-series within the larger series with recurring characters.
I thank you for bringing them to our attention, Jamie, and appreciate that. In fact, I had never even heard of that series. And as is usually the case, I haven't heard a lot of the suggestions that are made by listeners. I'm looking at our Facebook page now, and you can put your recommendation right on our Facebook page. Amy says, couldn't put down the book Horses Don't Lie About Love. another listener says, Stumbling into Affinity by Michael Fishman, His Spiritual Journey with Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. It's a good read with lots of interesting stories and lessons about life and about one's ego. Stephen recommends Steve Erickson's newest, These Dreams of You, Brilliant and Vital, from Bobby Kennedy to Obama, from David Bowie to Berlin to An Orphan from Addis Ababa. And Elizabeth Sibbets Smith's book, The House of Elizabeth recommends The House of the Scorpion by Nancy Farmer. Fabulous and original, and not just for teens. The House of the Scorpion by Nancy Farmer. Let's get some more of your calls in here, and we'll go to Sacramento. James, hi. I'm sorry, it's Nancy in Berkeley.
Hi. The book I wanted to recommend is the newest book in the Maisie Dobbs series. It's by Jacqueline Winspear. She used to live...
Oh, she's here in the Bay Area still, yeah.
Yeah. No, she lives in Santa Barbara now. But anyways, the newest one is called Allergy for Eddie, and she just keeps getting better and better. And this is just a wonderful read. It's a story about this young man who has a real way with horses. You know, her books take place before the Second World War, between the First and the Second World War, and they still used horses in, this is in London, takes place in London, and he had a wonderful way with horses, and he's mysteriously dies, gets killed in an accident, and she feels, and his mother feels, that there's something fishy about this, and so she investigates it, and it's her books are just wonderful.
Yeah, she spins a good yarn, and
she's
British, and she takes a lot from, well, British history in her work.
Oh, yes, absolutely, and you get a wonderful picture of England between the two wars.
Oh, well, thank you, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome.
In fact, it's good to promote local writers like that, although I didn't know that Jackie Winspear had moved out of Santa Barbara. Here's Lena on our website who says, mentions another local mystery writer, Kara Black. She says, since I can't get to Paris this summer, I'm going in Kara Black's Aimé Leduc books set in Paris. So authentic, I can smell the galos and pretend I'm there solving crimes with a chic detective on a Vespa over the cobblestones in Marais. Start with Murder in the Marais, the first in the series, then inhale the next 11 books set in different parts of France and Paris, evocative, compelling, not fluff, but with historical detail and social comment, so French you can taste the croissants. Let's go to more of your calls, and we go to Sacramento. James, hi.
Hi. I read a book that actually I think I heard on forum a little bit ago called Genius on the Edge about William Halstead in the early days of surgery and surgical procedures and the early days of Johns Hopkins Hospital and medical school. It's a fun read. It's curious to see how medicine has sort of come about.
Good historical science, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in nursing school, so it's kind of fun, makes kind of sense.
Well, and it may make sense for other readers, too. I'm glad you recommended it to them, and I thank you for that. Here are some recommendations on our website. You can go to that, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page or email us, forum@kqed.org. Sarah writes, Ray Bradbury's Dandelion Wine, a great summer read. Nancy writes, if you like mystery thrillers, try Project Moses by Robert Lowe. Enzo Lee, a reporter in San Francisco, uncovers a bioterrorism scandal. Will he and his partner get to the bottom of the scandal in time, or will they be added to the growing list of victims? Read and find out. and another listener, and these are actually good suggestions of local writers on our website. Gary from Belmont says, Why the West Rules for Now by Stanford professor Ian Morris, a concise history of Western cultures versus Eastern cultures over the past 10,000 years, well written, very enlightening, comparing, contrasting developments in each culture, designed to provide a bigger perspective on history than individual elections, financial crises, or even average individual lifespans. I highly recommend this book. Let's find out what else you, our listeners, highly recommend. We go to Mel. Mel, you're on.
Hello.
Neil, excuse me.
Yes, okay. You have me confused. The Woody Allen picture you were talking about was Another Woman.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a cause of mine. Ultimate Sacrifice by Lamar Waldron and Tom Hartman. I've plugged this before, but it needs to be plugged again. The mainstream press is completely boycotting it, but it reads better than most works of fiction, and it's one of the most thorough, documented, probing, and original critical looks at President Kennedy's assassination anybody ever did. It demands to be read, and it's more entertaining reading than most of what you're going to find in fiction.
More than Graham Greene.
More than Graham Greene. The press doesn't just refuse to review it favorably. They haven't reviewed it at all.
I did see a review of it, but not in our local press. I think it was in the New Republic. And Tom Hartman, of course, is...
The New Republic? Really?
Yeah, I think it was the New Republic or The Nation. One of those reviewed it.
Oh,
yeah.
I subscribed to The New Republic. And believe me, if they'd have reviewed it, I'd remember it. Because the press won't go near the book at all, which I find not simply surprising, but really pretty puzzling. Anyway, it demands attention. Well, what did the review say? Can you say?
That was a positive review.
And
I like Tom Hartman, so it certainly... what I read interested me, and I thank you for recommending it. Glad you brought it to our attention. And again, you can recommend a book here, fiction or nonfiction, what you think people should be reading this summer or beyond this summer. Toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Email address forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and you can post your recommendation there or on our Facebook page. And we'll go to Willie in Oakland. Willie, join us.
Hi.
Hi.
The book I'm reading right now is called Strength in What Remains by Tracy Kidder.
Uh-huh.
And it's a story of a young man who somehow through, you know, luck and pluck and the kindness of strangers survives the genocide in Burundi, which was right before the genocide in Rwanda. And that sounds like a really dark, heavy read for the summer, but it turns out to be, you know, there's a lot of good redemption and strength in the story. And eventually, you know, he meets people in New York City who somehow help him rise above the difficulty of being in America with no money and being, you know, dark-skinned. And he eventually goes to Columbia and I think Dartmouth Medical School and ends up going back to Burundi to open a clinic, which was the dream that he had when he was a schoolboy.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the book, and I think it's really quite inspiring, ultimately. You go through hell with this kid, but then his story is so extraordinary.
And what's amazing is he goes to work for Paul Farmer,
yeah.
You know, about mountains beyond mountains. So it's this woven tapestry that Kidder does so beautifully, where the first half of the book, you feel like you're inside this guy's skin almost, and it's awful. And then
yeah.
The second half is the narrative about how Kidder met him and goes through his story with him.
Yeah, Tracy Kidder was on the program with us talking about that book, among other books of his, and you've just really given a very good encapsulated review. I must commend you on that. Really quite good, and I thank you for that. Getting more of really recommendations as well as reviews from our listeners, and let's go to Albany and welcome Liz. Liz, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you fine. Please go ahead. I said I could hear her, but maybe she can't hear me. Liz, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, thank you.
Are you going to let us know or keep us in suspense?
Okay, sorry. It's called The Wolf Whistle by Lewis Norden. And it is about, it's a fictional account of Emmett Till, the killing of Emmett Till in Mississippi. And Lewis Norden, I guess he was probably in his teens when he actually lived there in Mississippi in Itabena near where this the killing of Emmett Till occurred, and he recounts this in this fictional story, and it's amazing. It's a great book. It's magical realism, but yet it depicts the this whole civil rights, really, the kickoff of the civil rights movement, I think, in a way that's very deep, profound. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and thank you, because the Emmett Till case, of course, has come back into the public spotlight after the killing of Trayvon Martin in Florida. A lot of parallels have been made, and appreciate hearing from you. And let's hear from Corey in Hayward. Hi, Corey.
I think, is it Clay? You may have my name wrong.
I've got Corey on my screen, but I'll accept Clay. If that's your name, I'll definitely accept it. Yeah, go ahead.
My recommendation is Destiny of a Republic by Candace Millard. And it's the history of James Garfield. And, you know, even though he, I think he was inaugurated in March of 1880 and was shot in July and ultimately died in, I believe it was September of 1880. So he was only president for a very short while. But having read this book, he's now my very favorite president.
He was shot by Charles Guillotot. Don't ask me why I remember that name, but it stuck in my head.
That is correct. He was insane. And,
he was an anarchist, supposedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get a really positive picture of Garfield as a man and as a president?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, he did not seek the presidency. In fact, he was giving a nominating speech for one of the candidates from the Republican Party, which at that time was the Liberal Party in the United States. But he was giving the nominating speech, and it was such a powerful and moving speech that there were 15,000 people in this. There were no microphones, of course, at that time, 1880. But there were 15,000 people in this convention center in Chicago, and his speech was so moving that the place they say you could hear a pin drop. And at the end of his speech for the candidate that he was nominating, the final thing he said was, "So who do we want for president?" And someone in the audience screamed, "James Garfield." And the place just went crazy. And when he got the nomination, he didn't want it. He didn't want to be president, pretty unlike today. But and once he then won in the general election, he said he was really sad. He said, "Well, there goes my life with my family. There goes the time I was going to spend on my farm." And, you know, he didn't have time to do much. But one thing that happened, people loved him so much, North and South. You got to remember, this is less than 20 years after the end of the Civil War. And so the country was deeply, deeply divided. There was still so much hatred and animosity between the North and the South. But the country came together as one in grief for Garfield. And really, it was after that America really became a whole nation again. Prior to Garfield's assassination, it wasn't.
Well, it helped that he was succeeded by Chester Arthur, who I think helped, well, the kind of healing that was necessary.
Chester Arthur wound up being a pretty amazing guy, too, because there were there was a spoil system in place in the United States that...
Well, that was why Garfield was one of the reasons why he was shot. He tried to do away with that spoil system. But again, the book is Destiny of a Republic.
By Candace Millard. There are a lot of little subplots in it or sub-stories, like Alexander Graham Bell figures prominently in it because this was before X-rays, and he had invented a machine that could locate, it was like a metal detector, locate where the bullet was in Garfield. Garfield would have lived if the doctors hadn't kept sticking their dirty fingers in his wound. American doctors were so arrogant they didn't believe in the germ theory of Lister.
Well, they were still using leeches, for God's sake.
But, it's a great book and very, very well.
I really like your enthusiasm for it, Clay, and I appreciate very much your bringing it to our attention as listeners are doing this hour. In fact, let me go to some of your emails here. You can email your suggestion or recommendation to us, forum@kqed.org, or simply post it on our Facebook page or our webpage, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment. Sarah says, "My recommendation is Kristen Lavransdatter trilogy by Sigrid Undset, set in 14th century Norway and is so rich in historical detail but totally alive and absorbing. It's beautiful, moving, and the characters are so immediate and compelling. It's one of those that I reread every 4 or 5 summers." I read Sigrid Undset, I must say, a long, long time ago and was quite impressed. These are like... what do you call them, Nordic sagas, and they are real sagas. Here's a listener named Shar who writes, I've never really been a fan of fantasy, but the Game of Thrones book series, A Song of Ice and Fire by George R.R. Martin, has everything one could look for in a good read. More than anything else, it's a human drama with complex, flawed characters who live in a world much similar to ours, only with moments of magic and, oh yeah, dragons. Lauren writes, The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein. This is a story as seen through the eyes of a pet dog. A little philosophy about life as a person goes through the death of a spouse and being accused of a crime without, with an ending you have to read to find out in an easy read. It was Paul Auster who I remember wrote a book from the point of view of a dog. I don't remember the title. Some of you may. That's a real tour de force. That's hard to do. Another listener, Devin, says, my suggestion is IQ 84 by Haruki Murakami. Let's not confuse him with the sheriff here. A dystopian fantasy about a lazy, unpublished writer and a young, attractive assassin, totally engrossing with nods to Orwell, Carroll, and Chandler. Facebook suggestion from a listener says, Steve Erickson's newest, These Dreams of You, Brilliant and Vital. We already mentioned that. Okay. But here's another email from Tess who says, To Be Sung Underwater by Tom McNeill and Nightwoods by Charles Frazier are two wonderful books that I have read this year. Good writing, engaging and unusual stories, and opted to bow out of some social events to come home, curl up on the couch, to put my nose in them. Let's bring another caller in, and that's you, George. Hi.
Good morning, Michael. The name of my book is The House of Silk by Anthony Horowitz. This book is a Sherlock Holmes mystery, but it's written by a modern writer, Anthony Horowitz, who has somehow channeled the spirit of Arthur Conan Doyle to a T. The premise is that this is one of Dr. Watson's documentaries of an actual Holmes case that took place in the early 1900s, but the story, it couldn't be published because it would have created such a scandal if it was published at that time. It would have brought down the entire English government and possibly the British monarchy. So it's pretty exciting. The story, according to the book, has been locked away in the bank vault for 100 years with instructions not to publish until now.
Boy, it kept you reading, huh?
Boy, it's really exciting. You read one chapter, and you can't wait to read the next one.
Well, that's a good recommendation, and I thank you for it. And here's Mike from San Francisco. Says, The Occult by Colin Wilson talks about everything of interest to me. Gurdjieff, Ouspensky, Aleister Crowley, Madame Blavatsky, the witch trials in Europe, the Inquisition, the invention of the novel, astrology, numerology, all in a very intelligent and not dismissive way. Ran across it for a dollar at a cafe on Portola near Twin Peaks. All right, and on we go to Berkeley. Dan, you're on.
Hello. I have a novel to recommend. I read a lot of fiction, but the best one I read in a long time, Gods Without Men by Hari Kunzru. I had never heard of him, but it got a splashy cover review in the New York Times Sunday page. It's set in the Mojave Desert, but in multiple time periods, multiple characters, everywhere from 1775 to the banking collapse in 2008. He is a British writer, but he does American voices of the 50s and, an American of Punjabi extraction, a Franciscan friar from the late 18th century. Everything intersects in one place. The stories come together. It's smart. It's amazing.
And you are recommending Gods Without Men. That's Dan from Berkeley. You can make your recommendations here. We welcome them. A book you're enthusiastic about, you want to sort of spread the wealth about and tell people to read. Toll free, 866-733-6786. Or email forum at kqed.org, or go to our Facebook page or our website, kqed.org/forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Well, this is an hour of listener-generated recommendations, some of them really quite enthusiastic, as you might imagine, passionate, in fact, and followed by sort of encapsulated reviews from you, our listeners, as to what to read this summer at the beach and beyond. If you've read a good book lately, we want to hear what it is. Or maybe even not lately, if it just comes to mind as something you want to recommend. And we'll have a list at the end of today's day for you on our website, which, of course, is at kqed.org. We encourage you to let us know either by phone, our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or by email, forum at kqed.org, or post any questions or comments. No, not questions or comments. Books that you recommend on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page, and we're going to go right back to your calls and emails. Thought we'd check in with Pete Mulvihill first, though, who's a co-owner of Green Apple over on Clement in San Francisco. And Pete, good to have you aboard. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Well, what's selling over there at Green Apple? What's hot?
Well, there's some of the predictable mainstream bestsellers like 50 Shades of Grey and Hunger Games, Game of Thrones. There's also some maybe less well-known things. My favorite book so far this summer is called Wild by Cheryl Strayed. It's a woman who hikes the Pacific Crest Trail solo back in the early 90s after the death of her mother at a young age.
That's gotten spectacularly good reviews, yeah.
It's wonderful. It's really charming.
And what about staff picks other than yours?
Yeah, sure. There's a book that three or four people here love called Sisters Brothers. It's sort of a picaresque Western that takes place a little bit in San Francisco. That's just out in paperback, and it's just kind of classic summer read. You lose yourself in a great plot. Also, the Baseball Codes is a book that we've been selling really well from the staff favorites case. It's sort of all the unwritten laws of baseball, and it's been flying off the shelf, I guess.
Well, I should mention that I think it was the last time I was in Green Apple, I ran into Philip Kaufman, who will be on forum tomorrow in our 10 o'clock
hour. Oh, good,
hour.
Yeah. And we're selling a lot of God's Hotel. I think she was on your show last week, right?
She was on a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, and there's two or three staff members here that love that one, too.
Great.
Yeah.
So good to hear from you, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love hearing everybody's suggestions, too.
That's Pete Mulvihill, who's co-owner of Green Apple. They're on Clement Street in San Francisco. And we're going to hear from more of our listeners. We'll go to Patsy next. Patsy, you're on.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just read Blue Nights by Joan Didion.
Yes, she was featured on Forum, in fact.
Yes, I love her writing. And this book is beautiful. I would recommend this book to anyone who has adopted children. It's a book about her adopted daughter and her daughter's death. But it also, the beautiful, beautiful part of it for me, and I don't have adopted children, but she speaks about adoption from the perspective of the child, of the adopted child. And I just thought it was beautifully written. I passed it on to a friend of mine who has four adopted children, and she is loving it.
Well, I thank you for the recommendation, and I've often said anything written by Joan Didion is worth reading. Let me get another caller on here, and it's Caso. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you've got a recommendation for us. I think that's what's up.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. This is the first time I've called. Huge fan of you, man. You're awesome. But I felt like I needed to tell people about The Moral Landscape by Sam Harris.
Yeah, we had him featured on the program. What'd you think of it?
I felt like it was the most important book I've ever read. And people tend to dismiss him because he's kind of polarizing because of his previous books and his debates. But this book in particular, I felt, is super important for like every human to read, as in it kind of brings together morality and logic and rationality, and it divorces it from, you know, thinking of, like, you know, how you were raised and all that stuff.
Now, Sam is a compelling writer. There's no question about it. He does polarize, though, as you suggest. And speaking about polarization, we get a recommendation for Sam Harris, one of the most famous atheists. And I think this next caller, Kaja, is recommending that we read the Quran. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
The best book to read is the Holy Quran. Quran. It is a divine revelation from the beginning to the end, and still in original condition. Quran is the only book that can save us from the hellfire and take us to heaven after death. There is no other book on this earth which can save us from the hellfire. All the other original divine revelations have been changed, but the Quran is still original, and it teaches the real humanity. You know, the best teaching is the teaching of the Quran.
Well, what country are you from, Kaja?
India.
Where are you from originally?
India.
India. And you feel that the Quran should be read to keep us from hellfire. Well, that's a pretty strong recommendation. Thank you. Some more listeners have sent in their suggestions here. Trying to think of other ways to be saved from hellfire. This is How by Augustine Burroughs, the best, most realistic self-help book you'll ever need. John writes, Ken Follett's Fall of Giants, a historical novel in the classic English lit style. Well-drawn international cast of characters before and during World War I. You may need many days at the beach. It's 1,000 pages long. These are all from the website. Todd says, local author Mark Abramson is well worth a look. Lots of San Franciscania. And Elizabeth says, The Gun by C.J. Chivers. Great history of the origin of the gun by a New York Times writer. Quiet, the Pied Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain. Really good book about how introverts can make a difference. More from the website. Melix writes, you've heard of the slow movement, right? Well, I think this would classify as a slow book in a good way, meaning that it asks one to slow down and take in and contemplate life's mysteries. The book is An Uncertain Age by Ulrika Hume. It's got a sense of humor, too. Jan says, Lunatics by Dave Barry and Alan Zweibel. Hilarious book. Couldn't put it down. Again, I'm just going through some of the recommendations on our website. Peter writes, I highly recommend The Art of Fielding by Chad Harback. It's a beautifully written story about college, baseball, and human psychology. And Tom on Facebook says, Try Alone in the Universe, Why Our Planet is Unique by Jugan Gribben. Terrific read in all ways, blends biology, astronomy, and geology into one comprehensible perspective on detailing the uniqueness of the planet Earth. John says, favorite recent sci-fi read, A Deepness in the Sky by Werner Vinge, a prequel to another very entertaining sci-fi read of his, A Fire Upon the Deep. And from Facebook, Jeremy recommends Voices by Pam Benjamin, a great short read by a young San Francisco author, the story of a man in a psych ward who may or may not be crazy. It's a little like a modern R-rated take on One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where the chief character speaks, but only in song lyrics. Tej, on our website, recommends Delva by Jim Harrison. Actually, I think all Harrison is great summer reading, engaging, emotional, and with adventure abounding. And a few of your emails. R says, Girl Genius and Gunner Krieg Court are two online graphic novels that have become some of my favorite adventure fantasy reads. If you're cashing of your Wi-Fi, online stories are a fantastic option for a light summer reading. And by the way, speaking of graphic novels, we have Dan Culls scheduled to be on in this second hour tomorrow. Gene from Berkeley says, I recommend Thinking Fast and Slow by the Economics Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman. That book, of course, was featured on Forum. And she writes, I like the book because it explores how we think and specifically the various ways in which we get confused. For instance, the font used to write a paragraph affects how convincing it is. The looks of politicians have a large impact on their success. A random roll of a die affects the sentence that a judge decides. And the book invites us to watch out for our misconceptions. A good read peppered with many fun examples. Well, here's a book we haven't heard of in a long time. Jeremy recommends Hotel Honolulu by Paul Theroux. Discuss that with us on Forum. Book manages to be both a definite beach read and very dark at times. I cannot recommend it more highly. And again, a recommendation for Stephanie Mills, Love Story About Place, nonfiction. The book is called Epicurean Simplicity. I reread it every year, says Pam. And let's hear from more of you by phone. We go to Sausalito. Sarah, hi.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, we're welcoming you. And waiting with bated breath, Sarah. Go ahead. Let us know what you recommend.
Okay, so I was going to recommend a great San Francisco noir detective novel called The Chinese Jars by William C. Gordon.
That's Willie Gordon's novel. That's Isabel Allende's husband and my friend, yeah.
Yes, really good novels, really sweet, really can't put them down. Page Turners. King of the Bottom is his second one in the series.
Yeah, he's got both of them. I've read both of them and enjoyed both of them, and Willie can spin out a good mystery. In fact, I think, thank you for that call. I think we're going to feature him with Isabel next month, have the two of them on together. Let's have some more of you on for recommendations. We go to Alameda. Joan, hi.
Good morning. I would like to recommend the Chet and Bernie Mystery Series. This is a series of books. They're mystery books about a detective and his partner who happens to be a dog, and it's written in first-person dog. It's a great book. The first one is called Dog on It, and these are lots of fun. I think the whole family could enjoy these. They have a wonderful set of recorded books, and the reader is superb. The dog just does lots of observations of humans and why they are so strange and how they get so upset about money. And
you realize with my mentioning Paul Auster's novel, this is the third recommendation of a dog-narrated book?
Well, this one is just wonderful. And I've read three or four of them, and there are a couple I haven't read yet. And I think they'd be great in the car with kids in the car even. There's only one stressful thing that I've read so far, and that's when Chet gets dropped off at a pound, but he does survive that and get through okay.
And the author is Spencer Quinn.
Spencer Quinn, yes, and I don't know what else he may have written, but I believe he's got five of these or maybe six of these out now. And the dog, he and Bernie are, Chet and Bernie are partners, and Chet the dog was the highest rated dog to get through the police canine academy until there was that unfortunate incident about the squirrel during the graduation services. And he has lots of unfortunate incidents when his dog character comes through, but he's wonderful at observing people and seeing all the contradictions in people. And Bernie is a wonderful character, too, and I just think they're a great series, and I hope lots of people will read them.
And where in the South are you from, Joan?
Oh, I'm from Texas, and everybody out here asks me that.
Well, if you go back there, they probably think you sound like a Yankee, but I thank you for that recommendation, Spencer Quinn, and she mentioned the character Bernie. By the way, you want to see a funny movie about Texas, see the movie Bernie. It's actually pretty, it's a kind of... we're recommending books, I realize that, but I happened to see it yesterday, and I kept thinking about Evelyn Waugh's The Loved One. It's that kind of humor, and it's very funny about Texas folk. In fact, Willie Brown said it reminded him of all of his, the people that he grew up with in Mineola, Texas. Let's go to more of your calls. We'll go to Rona next. Rona, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hi. I would like to recommend a series of books by Laurie R. King, beginning with The Beekeeper's Apprentice. It introduces a character by the name of Mary Russell, who ultimately ends up marrying Sherlock Holmes. And so it's a series about nine books, and it's very, very good. If you like Sherlock Holmes and you like a character that has the exact same brain as Sherlock Holmes.
Boy, she's taking liberties if she's got Sherlock Holmes wed, but it's not Sherlock Holmes as a character like him.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Laurie R. King. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it,
You're
Rona.
Welcome.
And by the way, later on today, these will be on our website, and you can claim them there for your own for summer reading and beyond, Beach and Beyond. And you can also make a recommendation. There is a line available now, and it's toll-free, 866-733-6786. There are a number of other ways, of course, to let us know what you think people should be reading this summer and beyond. By going to our website, kqed.org/forum, click on the segment, or going to our Facebook page or emailing us, forum@kqed.org. And get some recommendations from Chris in Richmond. Chris, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
What happens to me is I get tied up with authors. You know, I find an author, I really like how they write, and I read everything they've written. And, of course, the obvious one is J.D. Salinger, whom I was greatly impressed with when I was in high school, and Louise Erdrich, who is an extraordinary author in my estimation.
Yeah, what do you like of hers? Because I've read most of her work.
Tracks was really cool. Love Medicine was great.
Yeah.
The number of short stories she has as well. And,
well, Love Medicine. Remember. Love Medicine's made up of short stories, in fact.
I suppose that's
no. It's
over
it's
anyway,
it's
actually.
Connected like a novel, but you read like stories in there, like The Red Convertible, are often separated and published separately. But I love her work, and she's of course been featured on Forum a number of times. And of course,
that's cool.
Salinger, I think, is probably Catcher in the Rye may have sold as many novels as just about any book other than the Bible and the Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah. You know, somebody else is pretty cool, too, is Sherman Alexie, who is Louise Erdrich's protege, I believe.
Well, they're both Native American writers, but one's up in the Northwest and the other's North Dakota.
Right.
And yet, if you like Native American writing, you should read them. And I'll tell you, somebody else who you should read is Leslie Silko.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't know her work, if you like Native American writing, I mean, Alexie's a very different, you know, kind of first-person funny writer, but
yeah.
Silko is really a terrific writer, and she's also been on Forum, and so is Alexie. Sometimes it seems like so is everyone, huh? But except I gave you some wrong data here. I said that Phil Kaufman would be on tomorrow. He'll be on Thursday. Dan Klaus will be on tomorrow of Ghost World fame, and Philip Kaufman has just, along with his son Peter, put out a film about Ernest Hemingway and Martha Gellhorn, which was featured last night on HBO and was also featured in San Francisco at the Castro Theater on Sunday evening, open to the public. Gregory is our next caller. Gregory, you're on.
Hey, we got a Native American surge here. I want to go for the classic Seven Arrows by Hayemote Storm. I think that is just the most fabulous fiction book I've ever read.
Tell me about it. I'm not even familiar with it.
Oh, well, it was written sometime either late 60s or early 70s. It's an American epic of the different people in the Cheyenne Nation from before their encounter with the Europeans all the way to the present day. And what's fun about it is it goes like you'll start with one character and then he'll meet somebody else and then the story goes with that character who then meets somebody else and then the story goes with that character. So it's really strung together like pearls and very wonderful. And
like with orally told type narratives as you often
find?
Right,
yeah. And in the middle, in between, what you'll have is like a storyteller will then tell a story within the story. Almost reminiscent of Hermann Hesse's Glass Bead Game.
Well, thank you for that. In fact, speaking of stories within stories, I always like to recommend Raymond Carver's work because I've been on high on it and teaching it and writing about it for years. And so many of his stories feature. And of course, the kind of gem of the collections of short stories is the book Cathedral. But stories within stories, characters who tell stories within the stories. Let me go to more of your calls here and let's bring in a caller from Fairfield. Evsemion, good morning.
Evsemios. It's a Greek name, all right.
Sorry. It's a good Greek name, yeah.
A good, absolutely. I'm a philosopher, I hope. I'm 74 now. I'm a Holocaust survivor. And I read this book in a book passage called the Madeira by title Egonetics. Egonetics, E-G-O-N-E-T-I-C-S. Mm-hmm. The last teardrop. Meaning reconnecting with the baby in you, with yourself. It's amazing, amazing, unbelievable, ahead of the time book. And will, despite what I went through, this book, the only book on earth gave me peace of mind. I couldn't sleep. Now I sleep like a baby.
Wow.
Because this book has an answer to every human question. It is, like you said, premature for a human mind to capture, but you got to study instead of reading it. And
well, wait a minute. You read it in book passage? You finished the whole thing just standing there in book passage?
Oh, no. I read that some time ago.
Oh, I thought you said you read it in book passage. Yeah.
No. And
well, it's changed your life, huh?
Oh, I'm it's reconnecting with the baby in you. I mean, with the thing, the most valuable thing that we forget. And we go to nowhere, and we forget that without innocence, without truth, without love, without ourselves, with us to guide us and support us every split of a second, we're empty, we're nothing. And the story is very short, a couple more seconds. A 5 year old died by starvation in the Second World War, and this baby went to this other earth, supposed we're coming from this the real home of ours, and comes back as a 50-year-old man, and the collective whispers of all children of earth, the dying by starvation, abuse, etc., they're trusting this 5-year-old boy, which is 50-year-old now, to spread the wisdom, to spread, try to put some sense in the human of today. And on top of so many beautiful things, this 50-year-old baby in the heart, in innocence, come up with the smart global...
We're getting a bad connection here for some reason of Simios, but we've got the recommendations, the last teardrop, and I thank you for it. And starting to get scratchy there, but let me go to more of your calls, which won't be presumably. Paul, good morning.
Hi, Michael. I'd like to recommend Reemda by Neal Stephenson. It's the title's a misspelling of Read Me, and it's a sprawling... huge thriller written with great humor. He's Neal Stephenson.
He always gets recommended whenever we do these shows. You should
know
him. Yeah,
he's just like his style, and the humor is great. The villains are great. And this book is based on the premise is based on in the online gaming world where people buy imaginary money with real money and organized crime gets involved, and just a great read. It's 1,000 pages, but it goes by really quickly.
Well, I confess, even though it's recommended almost every time, I've not read a Neal Stephenson novel yet, but I'm going to. I've sort of made an inner pledge to do that, because every time we do these book recommending hours, somebody comes up with Neal Stephenson's name. In fact, I think we've got another one here. Vic Haas, good morning.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling to recommend two books, actually. The first one is Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson, which is, I think, the tour de force where he explores, ties together two stories, one from around World War II and another set in the modern day that ties together the introduction of computation and basically the inventions of computation with cryptology and then ties it together with modern technology in an amazing book that explores historical fiction related to those two eras, and in addition ties in complexity theory, and it's just an amazing book. And then the other one that I'm recommending is Gödel Escherbach by Douglas Hofstadter, which is a nonfiction book that explores Gödel's theorem, which is basically an idea that limits our ability to prove true statements. And it talks about computation, but in a really entertaining way that's basically some.
Yeah, it's a classic book. And thank you for that. There was supposed to be one recommendation. We're getting two from some listeners. It invariably happens. But let me get some of yours on here on record from the website and from Facebook and email comments. Listener writes, just finished When Captain Flint Was Still a Good Man, a first novel by Nick Dybeck. I devoured it. It's a story about a Northwest fishing town dealing with the loss of the town's patriarch, filled with intrigue and good tunes. Also a fan of young novelist father's work, any collection of short stories by Stuart Dybeck, but especially The Coasts of Chicago. Listener writes, Special Topics in Calamity Physics by Marcia Pessy, one of the best novels I've ever read, an amazing book. And Mary says, the book I recommend can be found in both English and Spanish, Before We Were Free, Antes de Ser Libres by Julia Alvarez. It's told from the perspective of a 12-year-old girl during the 1960s in the totalitarian regime of Trujillo in the Dominican Republic. Also, a second recommendation for Discworld series by Terry Pratchett. And Phyllis says, don't be put off by the size of The Path to Power by Robert Caro, the third in his biographies of Lyndon Johnson. It's a page-turner all the way, and you'll learn so much about backroom politics. Another page-turner is Bring Up the Bodies, novel by Hilary Mantel, a sequel to Wolf Hall about Thomas Cromwell. Meredith sends this email. I highly recommend two recent Newbery winners, When You Reach Me by Rebecca Stead and Moon Over Manifest by Claire Vanderpool. Don't let young adult classification fool you. These are two of the most engrossing, moving, and well-written books I have ever read, I've read in years. The Ira Affair, first in a series that defies classification. This is Melanie's recommendation. A surreal, playful romp through a parallel world where literature is taken very seriously. People enter the alternate world of fiction, and dodos are the pet of choice. It will completely change the way you see books. Some Facebook comments again. Here's one, Devoted by Brett Easton-Field, a dark, funny novel about a recluse and his illicit affair with a neighbor set in the present day. A wry commentary on suburban life, insightful and very entertaining. Mike on Facebook says, I just read Malibu Murder from the California author Hope Newman. It's a legal thriller with an offbeat sense of humor and a feisty sense of justice. I stayed up to finish it. It's addictive, great book, highly recommended. On our website, Marilyn says, I'm reading Tempo Dulu, a memoir of a woman born in Indonesia of Dutch parents before World War II. Her descriptions are vivid and frightening. And again, on our website, The Hayfield by Arthur Gordon reminds us of what it was like in the 60s when it seemed like everybody wanted to get back to the land. One man's attempt to move his family to the country and grow hay forces him to confront more than the elements in this intriguing read. I've read some good things about that novel. Let's hear from some more of you by phone. Melissa, hi.
Hello, good morning, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Surely.
I only ever read nonfiction. And I've got three recommendations, but I'll start with my favorite book of all time, which is called West with the Night by Beryl Markham. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my goodness. She was in Africa at the same time Isaac Dinesen was, and she's famous for Out of Africa.
Well, Isaac Dinesen is quite famous, but I don't know Markham's work. I'm sorry to say.
Yes, well, you should. The language is absolutely exquisite, and the stories are quite compelling. She starts out when she's a little tiny girl, and she has an encounter with a lion that is spellbinding. Her father is a breeder of racehorses, and there's a story about how she brings a baby racehorse into the world, And she later goes on to become, I believe, one of the first long-range pilots in the world.
Hmm.
It's absolutely exquisitely written. It's a wonderful story.
Well, my ace producer, Judy Campbell, is nodding and vigorously affirming your enjoyment of her work. And Judy actually spent time in Africa, in Liberia. So a good recommendation to have, and thank you for it. And we'll go to Danville next. And Bruce, you're on.
Hi. You know, the confluence of events of the day, and I happen to pick up a book called The Physician by Noah Gordon. It's an oldie, but it's a great story. It's about an Englishman who is has a natural affinity for you know, being a doctor and a healer. And so at the time, only Jews were allowed to be doctors. And so he pretends to be a Jew, learning all of the rituals and cultural traditions of the Jewish people and faith. And so he has to wander across the world to get to Persia, because at that time the best place to learn about medicine is under, you know, Ibn Sina. And so he wanders all the way across the land in order to get to Iran or Persia in order to learn all the latest medical techniques. And so then he becomes a tutor under the tutelage of Ibn Sina.
Yeah,
and then he returns back.
It was definitely Persia then, by the way, long from being Iran. And again, the book is The Physician by Noah Gordon. Thank you, Bruce, and thank all of you for your excellent recommendations. Here's Shiloh says, I recommend it. Now You Can Go by Venda Levita. Quiet, gripping novel that avoids being overly dramatic despite being centered around a traumatic experience. Susan says, a wonderful engrossing story is Three Boys Like You by William Gould. Takes place during the Guatemalan Civil War, a tale of friendship, adventure, and redemption. Highly recommended. And from our website, not a new or local book, but well worth a read, I agree, Body and Soul by Frank Conroy, a writer's writer, and a damn good writer at that. Stop Time, one of the best books I've ever read. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. It's on the website. It'll be on the website later today. And for all of us, KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.